Mission Radio with KK and Logan.
Oh, hello. I thought we were doing a recording or something, but if we're live, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, you know, we do a little bit of both. We're going to re-release it on YouTube tomorrow, but
there's basically nobody listening.
Yeah, don't worry. It's pretty much pre-recorded.
I know the feeling. No. Seriously, think about this for a second, right? If you're a talk radio show host and you're talking about something real, something that's not that's controversial or whatever like that, it's not like some BS issue, like gay marriage or the flag burning or whatever, you know, just if it's not there right. to specifically just to trick people into distracting them, then they won't want it as much, right? And it's a shameful world we live in where that is the reality, that those who speak the real truth are the ones nobody wants to listen to. And I was just thinking about this, right? The Vinny Eastwood Show. The only thing we do is tell you what you don't want to hear.
Which has so many great meanings in it. It's fantastic. Oh, Vinny, I'm so happy to have you on, man. It means a lot to me. I've been a fan for a long time. So for me, this is huge.
Oh, well, that's good. I hope you're able to handle it.
So what are you up to? Let's start with just how your day went. How'd your day go, Vinny?
Just organizing a few guests for my show later on today. And I was thinking about doing a bit of writing on a script or whatever, but no, just pretty much I've been chilling today.
Good. That's good to hear. So for those who don't know who Vinny Eastwood is, somehow they don't know, why don't you give a short introduction about who you are and how you got into what you do?
Okay. I've been a talk radio show host for 6+ years and an activist for 8+ years. I started off doing YouTube videos. I'm the first New Zealander in history to be given an American-based talk radio show and still the only one ever. I am the most subscribed YouTube news channel in New Zealand history and have more YouTube subscribers than the New Zealand Herald, who have been around for 180 years.
Wow.
And I have interviewed the top people in the truth movement and have thousands upon thousands of archived interviews with activists, researchers, journalists, doctors, lawyers, basically educated and intelligent people and people who talk about things that the mainstream media doesn't cover. And a lot of people tell me, oh, what do you talk about on your radio show? And I go, well, whatever the mainstream media is interested in covering, whatever they do cover, that's not what I'm interested in, and that's not what I cover.
Nice.
That is fantastic. And then you just took a break not too long ago, but you're getting back into the saddle now. And how's that all going?
Well, there was a quote by Banksy. He's a great street artist in England. And
yeah, definitely.
He said, you don't need to learn when to quit. You need to learn when to rest. And I took a good 6 months break off from September through February because I was overworked. You know, I was gaining weight and being really stressed out and that kind of thing. And there were so many people. It's like, you ever noticed the day that you say, you know what, I don't feel like working. I'm just going to take some time off. That's the day. When everybody goes, Vinny, we need you for this. Vinny, we need you for that. We need you for that. God. Oh, it was so frustrating.
I feel you. It's amazing. I know. That is definitely the way it goes. I've been going through some stuff the last month in my life, too, and it is amazing how the timing could not be more perfect. If it will go wrong, it does every time.
Yeah, that's Murphy's Law, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's that unfortunate business.
It's the only consistent law that I actually, study, practice, regard.
strangely, it's the only law that everybody seems to follow that isn't legislated.
Yeah, right.
There we go. That's fantastic. I love that. You know me. I'm completely against all that. So I am right there with you. For me, Guerrilla Media Network. Let's talk about that a little bit. I was just talking to Logan about that before he came on the show a little bit. And that's kind of how I kind of heard about you. And then I remember the whole conflict going on with Mr. Pete Santilli. And I still is not too clear. And I kind of want to just clear your name from the whole thing and also shed a light on possibly who he is. I don't know him personally, so I can't really put too much of an opinion. But I was involved in the Oregon standoff somewhat, and you know, just releasing information and things like that. And I was talking to people there on the ground, and Pete had a major part in that. So I did get to see his work, follow what he does, and you know, and he did a wonderful job from what I saw. I did hear a lot of conspiracy facts about him there at that as well. So I kind of just was thinking, well, Vinny, you have a large past with him. And so maybe you can shed a little bit of light on that.
I worked with Pete Santilli for in total a few hours.
Really?
During that few hours, I gave him the name for Guerrilla Media. I gave him the idea of the Guerrilla Media Network. I gave him the structure of the Guerrilla Media Network and how you're actually supposed to treat people and how to set it up and how to make sure that nobody else can control it so that all the people on the network keep their independent voice. And essentially, the network is only really there to garner donations for them and not itself. Right. So the very next day, he started up Guerrilla Media Network by himself, cut out Suzanne Posel, and it just went from there. Now, Pete's okay. got an illustrious past. So in the 1980s, he was a Marine. So he spent 5 years in the Marine, and he managed to get the rank of Lance Corporal, which is an E3, the third mm-hmm. lowest rank you could possibly get. Not an exceptional Marine by any standards. And he only put in the 5 years because you would get the GI Bill, which allows you $20,000 for higher education. He took out that $20,000 and took two courses in university in 1 year, which totaled about $2,000 each, and the rest of the money disappeared. He then got into real estate and he worked at Coca-Cola as well, but essentially on the real estate front, and we didn't put this in the video about the unauthorized biography of Pete Santilli, if you want to go and really have a look at that and see the kind of things he does. So
beautiful.
He and his father were scamming people. They were essentially selling people houses twice. And then when people would arrive to move into those homes, they'd see that there's somebody already living there and he'd already skipped the state. So he's a wanted man in Georgia. What else has he done? Man, it's actually been quite some time since I really looked into this. So, yeah.
It's amazing.
Coca-Cola. Yeah. Okay. So there was this Coca-Cola dispute, this lawsuit against Coca-Cola because they weren't paying the truck drivers overtime from a particular bottling plant. And Pete Santilli put his name. He actually bullied the prosecution team into putting his name on that list just so he could say that. And then after that case was won by the prosecution against Coca-Cola, Pete Santilli then went around going and telling everybody that he was the one who did that. And he never drove a truck once. Now, after that happened, he then suddenly appeared on talk radio as a quote-unquote military insider and with no records, no nothing to prove that he was. He was just a Lance Corporal, which is the third lowest rank you can get in the Marines. And he was a weapons courier. More or less, you've got to sit there on the airfield and unload the weapons as they come off the planes onto trucks for 5 years in a row. Oh, wow.
That is ridiculous.
Right, so then he got into talk radio and he says, and he does the classic move. Okay, so if you want to become famous in talk radio, find out whoever's the most famous and just start attacking them, and then hey presto, there's your attention, there's your thing. And it worked. So he went up after Alex Jones and he got offered a spot on a number of networks and then got let go, and then another network and then got let go, and another network and then got let go. So he went from, I think it was American Freedom Radio, where we gave him a gig, where I'm on, Still been on. I've been on American Freedom Radio for 6 years since I started. So it's a loyalty thing. It's a family thing. Now, the day that I had that conversation with him about guerrilla media, et cetera, the day before that, he had did an ambush interview of Jim Fetzer from Scholars for 9/11 Truth. He had Dr. Judy Wood on the line, who was basically feeding him the things, oh, stop trying to skull plug my listeners, stop trying to skull plug my listeners, just this repetition. This it was the worst interview I'd ever heard anybody do in my life. And and he also, when they went to break, and Jim was going, "What the F is going on here? What are you doing, man?" And blah, blah, blah. And he recorded those breaks and then published the whole thing. A man with no scruples whatsoever. And I pulled him up on that, and he goes, "Yeah, yeah, absolutely." He just told me everything I wanted to hear, just so that I'd give him all the information on how to set up guerrilla media, which he'd already, a month before even having this conversation, had already purchased the domain name guerrillamedianetwork.com for himself 1 week after joining the network, when he found out that Vinnie Eastwood owned this thing called guerrillamedia.co.nz, liked the name, and reserved the thing for himself. And I didn't know this at the time. All right?
Right.
So after he set it up and stole everything, we tried to stay away from him, essentially. And we knew that he would hurt people. We knew that he was still sending us abusive messages, like the worst abusive messages you could ever have. We tried to sue him, and he abused the lady who was going to sue him for us so much that she said, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. Like, I actually cried on radio one time just trying to reiterate some of the things he said and did to me, and my friend Suzanne Posel and that kind of thing. So I don't really want to go into it, but it was the worst abuse that I'd ever suffered in my life. And I'm a fat kid and had been abused at one point when I was 11 years old. There were 32 children in the class, including me, and there were 29 of them that gave me the hell abuse all day, every day, for a whole year. And that was nothing compared to what Pete Santilli was doing to me and saying about me. He accused me of being a pedophile, bro. You know?
Oh,
it's
wow.
Just yeah. like real sick
yeah,
stuff.
Messed up.
Always trying to get me back into the fold. Oh, have you canned Posel yet? And it's like Suzanne Posel was somebody I went into a partnership with because he screwed both of us over, more or less. She'd been working with him for nearly a year doing the Bunker news break. And when she called him up, he said, oh, Vinny said he's walking away from the project and gave it to me. And she's like, there is no way Vinny would do that. This was his project. This was his thing.
Right,
we even agreed.
This is your life.
You know, and she said that it was at that moment that I realized that he's a really bad person. And he's only in it for one reason. It's his own psychopathic self-aggrandizement. Okay, so the way a psychopath, the way a psychopathic mind operates is they tell you everything you want to hear, they manipulate you, and they tease you essentially into accepting something from them. And once you accept something from them, they've got their hooks into you, and then they will continue to use you as much as they possibly can. Now, for 3 years, we put up with abuse from this guy, and it was in. Maybe the reason why I was so stressed out in 2016 was because I had to go through this whole Oregon thing. I had to cut my annual holiday short. I normally have like maybe 2-3 months of a holiday per year just to recover from all the stuff that I do during an average year. And I had to cut that short. I'd only been on break for maybe 3 weeks because I saw Pete Santilli get arrested with a handgun. Mm-hmm. Which it was unlicensed, so that's crime number one. It was loaded, that's crime number two, and he had extra ammunition in the car, that's crime number three. All right, and he got let off the same day, within 24 hours, and all the charges were dropped. When the chief of police was asked why they dropped the charges, he said, no comment. Now, previously to this, Pete Santilli had threatened Anonymous online. He's like, if you, you know, hack me, go ahead, hack me. Blah, 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 blah. And they did. so they.
Yeah, Bro. You don't call out anonymous. I'm pretty sure we all know that now. You don't call out anonymous.
Well, again, this is the craziness of Pete Santilli. He's completely out of touch with reality. Okay, like he threatened to shoot Hillary Clinton in the vagina on live radio.
Oh my wow. God.
All right. It's ridiculously insane. And the guy doesn't have a sense of humor, right? So it's not a joke. He really freaking says this stuff. It's just because he's a liar and he's a shock jock and he's trying to get people interested. And he even wound up in the Huffington Post after that. Now, the things that were leaked out of his computer, on the other hand, were very interesting. One was a very nicely worded letter directly after that Hillary threat. But from the Secret Service, who visited him. And one was a lengthy fax that he sent to Daphne Hearns, who's the head of cybersecurity for the Sacramento field office of the FBI, not too far from where Pete was living, saying, "Why aren't you protecting me against Vinnie Eastwood and Suzanne Posel? I was told that when I disabled the trucker's ride for the Constitution that you would protect me and it would give me an audience. And now I'm under attack. They've hacked into my computer. I don't know what they've taken, and Operation Out Truck is compromised."
Wow. I had no idea that it was that he was that in bed with them. Wow. Well,
here's what
that
I,
is so interesting.
That's just what I know. I know he was working with the FBI because we found the facts. We verified the documents. They were either the most elaborate forgeries that money can buy, or they're real. And considering the quality of the hack that we saw, it was essentially it seemed like it was done by a 14-year-old kid. I've got a couple of hacker friends. I had to ask them to take a look at this page of documents that he puts up. And he goes, "Yeah, it's a kindergarten hack, bro." And I go, "What's that?" And he says, it's when some kid who simply knows how to hack into people's computers, but is really, really angry or doesn't know what to do, everything like that, and just kind of like splays it all over the place, you know? Like his cybersecurity was that low.
Wow.
They also leaked out a number of documents to prove that the hack was genuine, like scans of his photo, driver's license, social security card, a whole bunch of things. Everything you would need if you wanted to impersonate Pete Santilli and actually steal his identity, you could have done with the documents that they leaked. But we didn't. We simply showed that the leak was genuine, that he is working with the FBI, that he did derail the Trucker's Ride for the Constitution. The Trucker's Ride for the Constitution Facebook page at that time had 250,000 likes. It subsequently had its name changed to Guerrilla Media Network with 250,000 likes. And the people who ran the Trucker's Ride for the Constitution were locked out of the account. And they commented that we couldn't access our page, but there were plenty of posts about Pete Santilli on it. So, now going back to the handgun and him being released, this was the time when I came off my holiday and I was like, "Oh my God, we've got to expose this guy because he's going to get somebody killed." And Lavoy Finicum is dead. Right?
Right. Mm, right.
So we were too late. Okay. So we produced this 20-minute film called The Unauthorized Biography of Pete Santilli, going from his service record as a Marine, the time that, and also we've got all his court documents as well. He's been in and out of jail a number of times. He's gone to court once for starting a fight with a fire chief in the parking lot of a bar in downtown LA. Just really, really crazy stuff. Breaking and entering. Him and his wife were both incarcerated for breaking and entering and squatting in somebody else's house. It's crazy. And when he started up this guerrilla media thing, he got a whole bunch of people involved and never paid them a cent. So far as I know, he worked them all, and just basically came away with the result. And now he's in jail. But
right.
But Lavoy Finicum did. And the evidence that the prosecution used to put him and the Bundys behind bars initially was from Pete Santilli. All right. So he's sitting there. He's filming the proper meetings and things like that. He's live streaming them. The authorities are watching the live stream during meetings and planning sessions and things like that. So he was basically a mole on the inside. and he needed to be as prominent as possible so he could milk the most hits out of it. Now, he's played that role a couple of times. You'll notice that from year to year, Pete Santilli completely changes appearance. So during 2013, he was wearing glasses, short hair, and a suit. 2014, he was bald, wearing a polo shirt and jeans. Now, that was during 20, I think it was 2015 when they had the Bundy Ranch mm-hmm. One down in Texas. And this was just after Operation Out Truck had concluded. And also the members of the Truckers Ride for the Constitution were missing $50,000 from the PayPal accounts that Pete Santilli had access to. And Pete Santilli turned up to this the Bundy Ranch with a brand new RV, brand new Apple equipment, new broadcasting technology, and all of this kind of stuff, tens of thousands of dollars worth of new gear. And he just shows up and he asserts himself as being the main media source down there on the side of the Bundys, right? Mm-hmm. And right. So, because basically what the FBI wants to do is they want to start up a domestic insurrection, okay? They want to give the government justification to crack down on everybody, to kill patriots and that kind of thing. And Pete Santilli was their man at that time. So he was trying to hype up aggression, try to get as much attention on the situation as humanly possible. And it was just like we saw this going badly, and thank God it didn't. Mm-hmm. But when he was pulled up for having that handgun and got let go, we had to make that video to just try and warn people. And we got messages from quite a number of people saying, thank you for telling us this. We had no idea. I thought he was a nice guy. I thought he was a patriot. I thought. And now I know what the real story is on this person. And that's good, you know, saved a lot of people a lot of heartache. But it doesn't change the fact that he's hurt a lot of people along the way. And in those 3 years where we tried to, you know, just give him his distance and not be involved anymore, he wouldn't let up. All right. And right. We just got pushed to the breaking point. It was so stressful that we had to expose him. We had a moral responsibility to do it because we knew the truth about him and other people didn't. And we were essentially trying to save lives. Now, unfortunately, Lavoie Finicum is dead. But you know, I don't know.
It's awful.
If we could have saved him, it could have been worse. Yeah. Right.
No, and hearing that side of the story is interesting too, because at the time when when Pete was there, I was watching all of his live streams and. We constantly got the feeling that he was being a bit of an antagonist, you know, and trying to create these situations. At the same time, you know, I didn't know too much about his backstory. And so, you know, I didn't know. And I was happy that there was some media on the ground doing what he was doing. And it saddens me so much to hear that. It was all, and I do, at this point, I fully believe you. Just from the other sources that I've read, knowing exactly what happened there, I believe, like you said, it's completely to blame with him live streaming every bit of what was going on there.
That was his job. That was his job, to be an informant, right? To keep everybody under lock and key. And to try and antagonize and start a shooting war, get as many gun-toting people down there as humanly possible. All right. You feel the emotion of the situation right now, don't you? Because as soon as you get that, it's like you're finding out 9/11's an inside job for the first time mm-hmm. ever. Now, on from Pete Santilli, you start to realize that if you apply his template... Here, you realize that half the truth movement are like him.
Right.
Half the talk radio show hosts, at least, are acting in more or less the exact same way that he was acting then and has been acting his entire radio career. Now, last I heard, he was in jail because they arrested him at the thing. Why would the FBI arrest their informants? The FBI didn't arrest him. The local sheriffs did. All right. Mm-hmm. And guess what happened to all the charges? They all got dropped.
Right.
All right.
Wow.
And funnily enough, though, because of all the stuff that he'd done down at the Bundy Ranch in Texas, they wanted a piece of him as well. So he got transported from prison in Oregon down to prison in Texas, where he's currently awaiting trial for his crimes down there during that Bundy Ranch occupation. And I'm acting under the assumption that what the FBI is trying to do is they're trying to... What's it? If you get out of the public eye and you lay low for a while, everybody forgets. Right. So when he comes back, and he will come back...
Definitely. Yeah, and when he comes,
everybody will think he's a patriot. Oh, he spent time in prison for the truth, and so on, and so everybody will trust him. Everybody will listen to his show. Oh, Pete's so great. Oh, he makes me feel like there's something to fight for. Blah 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 blah. That's exactly what they want.
Right. No, I talk about it all the time, that chaos is profit. And here, I mean, it's very clear that what they're hoping for is to push us to a limit, create more chaos, in which at that point they can completely cage us and totally make it martial law.
Right.
And we've been seeing this for a long time. I spent some time in the militia back in 2008. And, you know, a few years after that, before I became a complete libertarian, I was invested in supporting the Constitution on a local level. I had already learned about the crookedness of the military, and I still wanted to do my job as a patriot. And it wasn't long after that that I got involved with these guys that I started learning, all right, this doesn't work. There's the patriot movement. It has to be based in education and support. A military uprising is exactly what they want us to have. There's no way that these men who buy that, you know, we can buy $2,000 AR-15s. It does not matter. When you are going up against the greatest war machine the world
chemical
has ever
weapons
seen,
and stuff.
It does not matter that you have a great laser sight on your AR-15. You're 300 pounds overweight and never done a ruck march.
And,
we are not going.
And not to mention, you're on 15 different medications for your blood pressure that you suddenly can't get anymore.
That is a great point that I've never even thought about that.
Seriously.
Definitely. I know myself, without my contacts, I'd be blind in about a month.
Yeah, seriously.
But the reality truly is that if you are perpetuating a violent uprising, you are perpetuating enslaving and imprisoning your fellow man at this point. And especially with the power of the internet right now, oh my God, how can you even think that anything you do will you'll get away with anything you
right.
do? It's ridiculous.
I like what Jesse Ventura said. He says, a revolution does not have to be violent.
Right.
Yeah, we can have a peaceful, bloodless revolution, and we can, and that's what the truth is about. But it's naive to think that the psychopaths who run society won't fight back against that. Okay, CIA, or its predecessor, the OSS, had been involved in infiltrating the media, I'd probably say now that the intelligence agencies have infiltrated both the alternative and the mainstream. In order to control the debate. Now, the ultimate tactic of propaganda, as Aldous Huxley, the writer of Brave New World, once said, is to convince you that a certain section of the population is no longer human. Now, the thing that's happening now that I see is I think we're being hyped up for another Middle East war, maybe Iran or whatever, because it's just like every day I see, oh, the Muslims, they're so evil, they're so evil, they're so evil. Why? Because you killed a million of them in Iraq?
Exactly.
Why? Because
I would want to bomb America too.
It's like, or maybe it was the trade sanctions that killed 250,000 children of theirs conservatively, while there wasn't even a war going on after Desert Storm. Maybe it was that. Maybe that was what pissed them off. Or maybe it was the fact that you illegally invaded their country, destroyed their water infrastructure and all other kinds of essential infrastructure, and imposed your own dictatorship over there, as well as installing 50 permanent military bases. Maybe it was that. Or maybe, you know, it was just, I could go on forever! You know?
Seriously.
Who is the real threat here? Okay? I have seen the enemy, and he is us. All right. Every single day that we point the finger at somebody else being the problem, it's us that's the problem, isn't it?
Right. Right. Oh, man. That's amazing. Yeah, no, it's just are you familiar with Jordan Page? He's a musician, and he was close with the Finicums. He played at Lavoie's funeral, I believe.
No, unfortunately not.
I'll have to hook you guys up. He's a fantastic guy. He's really close with the family. And as soon as we're done with this call, I'm gonna have a talk with Jordan just about a lot of the stuff going on. It's just so hurtful. It's like you said, it's like finding out that 9/11 was an inside job the first time. You know, I still remember that day watching the footage of Finicum. And yeah. It hurts, man.
And the scary thing is too that the fact that he's working with the FBI,
right?
That means clearly the FBI
right.
has infiltrated the truth movement
right,
already.
Right, yeah,
you know?
there's the proof Vinny was just talking about. Right,
yeah, it's and that's amazing. Crazy. And that's what people need to watch for, especially, you know,
right.
if a guy is telling you the truth, mm-hmm. like, because mm-hmm. they want us to be fighting too,
right.
us truther guys,
right.
you know.
Well, and this is, you know, I talk about all the time.
No. They don't just want us fighting. They want the audience to be confused. All right.
Yeah, definitely.
That was actually the operations, the Secret Services, the OSS during the 1940s. Their main campaign against the Nazis mm-hmm. was a propaganda war specifically to confuse the German troops and citizens.
Wow.
Okay. They hijacked a mail train once and filled the mail train with fake letters.
Fake news.
And then they put the train back on the tracks, and it got delivered to all the Nazi aficionados and everything like that by their own mail service, and they had no idea that what they were reading was propaganda.
Wow.
All it has done is advance now. So let me see. What's different between me and these other propagandists and things like that? The difference is I'm not as exciting to listen to, because I don't try to use emotions to manipulate you into paying attention to me. I don't try and hype up and have fights with my guests just because it generates a lot of publicity for negative press to get more hits. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. Do I have a hell of a lot of products and advertisements? I have none. Do I tell anybody to be afraid of anything? No. I make jokes about all of the scary things, actually, in order to disarm the ability for really, really scary information to actually get in your heart. All right?
Right.
People don't realize this, is that humor is the language of God. And if you deny the language of God while you're talking about things that are of great importance, okay, like life, it's going to shrivel up. It's going to die. You need to laugh at these things. Otherwise, your mind will go.
Right. Right. There's too much hurt in the world to just... I say all the time that you have a choice between laughing and crying. And I don't have enough... I don't drink enough water already to cry that much. So, I mean, I'll be dehydrated. I need to keep the laughing.
Do you know where that
going.
Phrase came
own...
from?
No, I don't.
Abraham Lincoln... was a great orator and storyteller. And after one great battle, he actually sat all the troops down and he told them a little funny story and got them all to laugh. And a news agent came up to him. He said, "Mr. Lincoln, why do you jest when so many have just died?" He says, "Well, because if I didn't laugh, I'd cry."
Nope. And I can completely relate with that. I mean, it's hard daily. You know, lately we've been dealing with the fake news struggle a lot, and every day everybody like us is being labeled fake news, or at least people are trying to label us fake news. You know, at least the left is. And at the same time, the right is talking about how the mainstream media is the fake news, you know, and this constant battle is going on all the time.
And that helps with the confusion, like
right.
like he was saying, like, and we've talked about it before, like everyone who is real news is calling CNN and the real
right.
fake news.
Right.
But at the same time, they're calling everyone.
Right.
So if you're just a person who's not involved either way, you don't know what to believe.
Right.
You know?
Well, and the mainstream people are typically going to trust the mainstream
right.
media.
Exactly.
And surprisingly, though, there's not too many people watching the mainstream media, actually. Their ratings are in the toilet. They have been for at least a decade. I think it was maybe 10 years ago when it turned out that Chuck Norris's Total Gym commercial with Christy Brinkley had higher ratings than primetime Fox News.
Oh, that's awesome. That is the best.
All right, so again, they're trying to confuse you. They're trying to make you think that more people are watching the news than they actually are. Okay?
Yeah.
They're trying to make you think that people who are intelligent, that can think for themselves, listen to the news, watch the news, do their own research, and then parrot what the news says. No. It's only the unthinking, slave-like, cult-indoctrinated masses that do this. Now, how do you indoctrinate somebody into a cult? Is a very interesting question. First of all, you've got to give them a promise of truth. Second of all, you've got to make sure that they're being talked to in a sort of slow, monotone pace, kind of like that which a heart would beat in the same sort of fashion. You want to keep them under fluorescent lights that are not too bright and not too dark so that you feel almost sleepy with it. You've got to tell, in order to keep people in the cult, though, on the other hand, you've got to practice ostracization. Now, oh, mate, one second, guys. I've just got a little bit of a problem with my...
No problem.
Okay, there we go. Now I can hear myself again. Ostracization of the outsiders. So if anybody in the cult says anything that's different to what the cult is supposed to be teaching everybody, they say, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's wrong. You're stupid. You're so... and call you a whole bunch of names. The cult also believes themselves that they're not a cult. The cult also believes that people outside the cult are inferior in some way, that they're not good enough. Oh, we're truthers and you're just a slave. You know? Truthers don't realize that they're still slaves too. All right?
Right.
You still pay those income taxes, eh? Oh, you still pay some kind of tax on the purchases you're making, eh? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You're still participating in elections to elect your new slave master for the day? Oh, yeah? Oh, okay.
How's that driver's license, huh? You driving with a license plate? How's that working for you?
Yeah, it's like you're not free, bro. You're a slave and you're part of a mind control cult. Sorry. That's just the way it is. So I want you to practice that in front of the mirror twice a day. I'm a slave, and I'm part of a mind control cult.
Oh my God.
And then,
so true.
And then all of a sudden.
And that reminded me of when Chris Cuomo was on the news saying that we're not allowed to go look up WikiLeaks. Right. That it's illegal. Only CNN can look it up and deliver us that news. Right. Like, really?
It's amazing, right?
And people believe that. That's the fucked up thing.
Right, they're like, oh, we better not. We're going to get infected with a virus.
Yeah, that's because...
Oh, Anonymous will be in our computer. Oh, no.
That's because in order to keep somebody enslaved into the cult and whatever, that claim of truth is absolutely important. The claim of truth is linked to a leader. The leader is linked to God, all right? This is essentially how the first cults really got started. My leader is connected to God. Everything he says is true, and nothing he says is fallible. And you're like, whoa, that's religion, that's the media, that's high school textbooks, that's everything, right? So we're born as slaves into a prison that we cannot smell or taste or touch. We're indoctrinated into a mind control program called public schooling. And then we are then transported from that either into higher education, where they indoctrinate you even further to shut off your creativity, to shut off your ability to think for yourself. Or you go into the workforce where you're not allowed to have any creativity or think for yourself unless you want to find another job, you know?
Right.
So
here's
the thing. When you're dealing with previously or even current cult indoctrinated people, they will not believe you, especially if you've got proof.
Exactly.
Okay, so if you go around saying, hey, 9/11's an inside job, the towers for 70-story skyscraper fell in 7 seconds, look at that. Ah, you're just a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, they will tell you to your face that you're not seeing something that you're seeing, you know? That's how crazy
Which was fantastic about Vault 7. Like, everybody who said, like, no, that fucking Xbox is totally monitoring what we're doing, you know? Like, definitely. No, you're crazy.
Why do they want to watch you?
Right, you're nobody. Right, right. nope, we're right again. Which is funny too. You know, people are like, oh, I don't want to get hacked by Anonymous. I just don't want these people in my computers looking. You were hacked a long time ago, from a way bigger gang. It's called the CIA.
Yeah.
And they've been monitoring you forever, hacking you, stealing your information, and doing whatever they want with it. Why the fuck would you care if Anonymous did it?
Yeah.
It's yeah. amazing.
I don't. Well, the thing is, democide. Anybody ever heard of that? It's when it's genocide by democracy. It's when a group of people get exterminated by the person they elected to lead them. All right.
It's what we've been doing.
Yeah, and technically, if you want to be afraid of something, be afraid of government, because statistically, they're more likely to kill you than any other factor. Even today, right. Government-mandated healthcare systems that are all regulated and so on and so forth are the leading cause of death in America, the leading cause of death in the UK, the leading cause of death in Australia and New Zealand and probably Canada too. Right? It's just out of control. And in New Zealand, we've got free healthcare. Free healthcare that'll kill you. I love it. You can't make this shit up. Oh my god. Hey, I know. I don't want to do it. It'll kill me, but it's free. Oh, really?
I know. It's so true too. I cannot believe it. I talk all the time, you know, they're like, "What do you mean you're a slave?" I'm like, "Did you sign something? 'Cause I didn't."
Yeah.
When did you sign something? I don't remember that. And they're like, "Well, you know, you were born into this and this." No, fuck no. That's the exact terms of slavery. Yeah. Oh my god. And then they believe that we have somewhat, we have control in our voting. Yeah, that's what voting does. It gives you a voice. Yeah.
If there is anybody willing to listen, you know, here's how you know that you're a slave. A slave is a piece of property. All right. They can be bought and sold at auction. Pretty straightforward, right? You'd understand that. Now, when you're born, you get a birth certificate that has a tracking number on it. And if you look up that tracking number on the stock exchange, you'll find that it's there.
Wow. Right.
Okay?
Yep.
You are a slave. You are a commodity. Now, the way that they did this is they go, all right, we're a bunch of criminal bankers, and we want to be able to make money up out of thin air, but we also want to enslave everybody into thinking that money is real and that they have to really bust their ass working at their slave jobs in order to pay us back the money that they don't owe us. All right, how do we do that? Well, let's introduce an income tax. And then, well, you can get the government to guarantee that they will pay back their slave money to us that we created out of nothing.
What's funny is when they thought that idea up, they probably laughed just as hard as we're laughing too when they realized it. We got them.
Guys, and also this is a thought that occurred to me. I watched the video yesterday, so the 101 facts about the CIA. Very scary video, but it's funny too. There's a guy that I tell a whole lot of jokes there. And I thought to myself, when he said something in the video, he said that the CIA actually have a bit of a sense of humor. Like, there was even this one big scary incident that happened or whatever, and the CIA actually published a spoof, a video of this terrible event kind of thing. And it was just like, if the CIA have a sense of humor, I suddenly realize why I've never been hacked, never had my website taken down, always got my YouTube channel back the two times it got taken down, once by Pete Santilli and once by, I don't know who, it was the New Zealand government right at the height of the election when I did a video exposing our Prime Minister and all of his banking connections and things like that. But other than that, I'm not under overt surveillance. They haven't tried to intimidate me. They haven't tried to contact me. They haven't tried anything. And I was just thinking, whoa. And in another part of this video, they said they've got social media analysts, right? So what these people do is they sit there, they read tweets, they read Facebook posts, and they watch alternative media and stuff like that in order to gauge what's going on. And I was just thinking to myself, these guys love my show.
I think you're funny.
It's the lighter side of genocide. They can't get enough.
They're sitting there laughing, drinking coffee around it. I know. That's what I was thinking about that the other day, too. Like, you know, the CIA is laughing at most of these hackers, too. You know, I mean, like, the real only way to get information out safely now with it being completely legitimate is to leak it. We've all found out now that, you know, a lot of these hackers are not nearly as proficient and smooth as they like to think they are. And the government fully is monitoring them and letting them hack because it's like, well, what? I'm not going to stop this guy from smoking a gram of weed. I'm going to go after the major drug dealers, you know?
No. It's the intel community. You need to keep secrets. And in order to keep secrets, sometimes you need to act as though your enemy, as if you don't know those secrets. For example, right. The CIA built a 1,400 foot tunnel in East Berlin. So that they could monitor KGB communications from underground. All right. Now, unbeknownst to the CIA, they had a mole who was feeding the KGB all of this information. And they were collected 4 years of data of fake conversations the Russians were having.
And
the reason why the Russians did that is to protect their mole. All of a sudden, as soon as the recording started, boom, something was up, the CIA would have known they had a mole. Just like when the British captured the Enigma machine, you've seen our U-571 with Matthew McConaughey. It was actually the British that did that, not the Americans, who hijacked the German sub and confiscated the Enigma machine.
We love to rewrite history, though, Vinny. And if we can put America as the star, we will do that.
One can only hope. Now, the other thing about here is that once they got the Enigma machine, and this is told in a movie called the Mr. Turin. You know what a Turin test is? When you ask a series of questions to determine whether or not you're talking to an intelligent organism or a machine. All right, the guy who created that test was also the guy who created the world's first computer. And they were able to crack the Enigma code. And a day or two after they cracked the Enigma code, they got in a message that the Wolf Pack, the German submarine fleet, was going to attack a ship. And on that ship was one of the members of the team that helped crack the code's family. And he was very, very adamant that they should warn them, that they should change their course and things like that. And they say, no, we can't do that. Because if the Germans decide to attack a ship one day and all of a sudden that ship is no longer there and it's changed direction or anything, they'd know we'd broken their code. And so and it was in 1942 that they obtained that. So the war went on for 3 years afterwards, and it was only a handful of times that they used their information, very major key points and battles that they actually chose to use their information. So that way, the Germans wouldn't know that they'd cracked their code. All right? This is how you keep everybody confused, and this is how you keep your intelligence apparatus intact without people finding out about it. And that's part of the reason why the conspiracy movement now really exists, because people are starting to notice this dynamic and are starting to actually expose it, use truth, and so on and so forth. But to be frank, guys, I'm bored, you know, I've been talking truth for near on a decade now, and I only see the situation getting worse, you know?
Well, you know, Vinny, I would say you got to stay positive. From my point of view, I'm really seeing an amazing shift. And I mean, you've been doing this a long time, so you've been finding the garbage and the dirt and exposing it, and then everybody just says, you're a crazy fucking conspiracy theorist. But now the internet is growing so powerful, and communication is changing every bit of the existence we have. And I'm a big supporter of communication being what actually creates freedom and truth, not creates it, but makes it possible to change the world with it. And so our relationship ourselves with me and you is an amazing example of what the internet is now doing. I mean, 5 years ago, I had no idea who you were. And more importantly, people didn't know that true media was even out there. Most people listen to Coast on AM radio still, and they couldn't wait for it. Now, everybody is their own Coast to Coast. So, I mean, as a elder statesman in the truth media realm, I applaud you, but I also say stay strong, my friend, because we are on the cusp of something here, and I firmly do believe it.
I don't trust a belief, and I don't trust to hope, for it is forsaken in these lands, as Éomer and the Lord of the Rings would say, right? And I say that to have hope is good, all right? What's his name? Dr. Leonard Coldway's cured like 30,000 mm-hmm. people of cancer. He got... You know what the stupidest thing I've ever heard is? People who say, don't give them false hope. Don't give them false hope. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Every hope is good. All right? It's the people who don't have any hope that really fizzle out and die, right? But to be honest, it's just financial struggle, really. I mean, my wife is going to be having surgery to get this massive growth taken out of her belly. There's a reason why we haven't been able to have a kid for the last 10 years. And that's going to be taken out, but she's going to have like 6 weeks off from that. And I don't know how we're going to survive. And even right now, I don't even know how we're surviving, right? You know, just hung that kind of, I don't want to have to work my ass off just in order to be only able to survive. Right. You know, I'd like maybe just a little bit of comfort, maybe, because people's praise is great. Right.
Right.
But it doesn't feed me. It doesn't refill my bag of weed when it runs out, you know,
right?
That kind of thing. And
I can feel you. I can feel you.
More to that point.
Man.
Now that weed is legal in the States, I've thought about a great new funding thing for budding journalists who need their weed and can't really afford to pay for it because they're telling people the truth. All right. And that is Dopetreon. You've heard of Patreon. This is Dopetreon, where every month you send them a couple of bucks worth of weed.
I think that the whole movement would appreciate that. But I, you know, and I also see, like, there's so much change going on. Back, it's even the organization of these networks and how they're formed. In the past, you know, we had these big corporations that would buy the media time on TV or radio, and there was no way for us to get our message out there unless we were hopeful we signed a contract with one of these big outlets. Now, you know, we've been living this life of, all right, we're all our own creators. YouTube has allowed us to cut out the middleman to a certain point and be ourselves and be in control of our own message. But I believe that there is also another tide changing that with thousands of choices, how can anybody choose, right? And so it comes down to, oh, well, you're popular because you signed certain deals with so-and-so and you're promoting certain products and what have you. But what I'm starting to see and I've been talking to other people about is forming these coalitions of writers and things. And I, you know, we've talked about it with other networks and things like that, but more of sovereign networks acting together and promoting each other. And, I mean, that's based in the way that alternative media really works.
No, I disagree. I think that alternative media works because there's individuals in it who do what they do and don't take no for an answer.
Well, no, yeah, no, definitely.
And it's like working together, right, that's a good thing. Working underneath each other, on the other hand, that's a bad thing, right? Because it's that's a slave-slave-master relationship. And I found that individuality is the thing that the New World Order is really, really trying to stamp out, individual variation, individual opinions, and so on and so forth. So if you wanted to have a truth movement that was actually truly free, and this is the whole idea of guerrilla media, is that nobody takes any responsibility for what anyone else says on the network. All right. It's all freaking free for all. Everybody does what they want and everybody gets to make up their own mind.
Right. Well, and the way that alternative media has been working is not, like, for me, I'm based in Chicago and there may be a couple good stories that are here locally that I can actually get out of the office and go down there and record these things and put them out there. It might be garbage. It might not be good. And it will go nowhere probably because it isn't that good or whatever. If now I happen to be the one who some crazy riot like Ferguson happens here in Chicago, all of a sudden my message is going to be shared out to all of the other alternative media networks and it will grow. And so this is the way that alternative media has somewhat been taking on the mainstream, is by not deciding to work together, but the free market deciding what should exist. And so
I agree.
Going forward, I'm seeing that, all right, we understand that. Now, if we can all communicate and just put that out there the way the internet provides, it will grow exponentially. So that's kind of what I've been working on, is somehow that we can form some sort of, like you were saying, guerrilla network, in the way that nobody's in charge of their own message and this and that.
Well, I've since not even renewed guerrillamedia.co.nz, right?
Okay.
I'm done with it. I'm done with the whole idea because I realized something. Right. The Vinnie Eastwood show is me. It's mine, right? And I'm doing it. Other people help me. Other people collaborate with me and that kind of thing. But ultimately, it's mine. And the thing about guerrilla media is there is no centrism with it. It was never actually supposed to have a central website. Doing your own media is guerrilla media. All right. It doesn't matter whether you're part of guerrilla media. If you're doing your own media, guerrilla style, you are.
Right. Right. No, I definitely agree with you. And I guess my hopes is that we continue to do what we are doing right here, right now, is coming onto each other's shows, supporting each other, because even though we may be doing similar work, we're doing it in different locations. We're focusing on different main goals. And this is what I'm talking about, in the way that we are making the difference. Right now, when I sent out to my followers that I was going to have Vinnie Eastwood on, it was a whole new network. And I'm sure they will be just as cheap as your fans and not send any money. But it's another step in the right direction. So I hope we can continue to do this, Vinnie. I'd love to have you on again. You were a fantastic guest and blew my mind on several things.
We got
to
talk aliens next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I prefer Alien 3, the director's cut, myself.
Oh, man.
You know that David Fincher has never even seen it?
Really?
Like the director of Alien 3, the director's cut, never even saw it because he hated it so much. Because the
wow,
yeah. It's just really bad production with that stuff, man. Go watch on YouTube about the trouble that David Fincher went through in his first feature film, Alien 3. You go, you poor cunt.
I can somewhat relate. I've had some shows that I really don't want to check out.
Maybe that's the reason why sometimes I'll get home from a protest with all this footage and everything, and because somebody was a dick to me at the protest and wouldn't let me speak or something like that, the footage just never gets uploaded, you know?
I know. It's horrible. Oh, man. This has been fantastic. I guess we're going to wrap it up. Thanks so much for coming on, Vinny. I look forward to hearing you with Adam Kokesh later as he's on your show. That should be exciting. Otherwise, let's stay in contact and let me know if you need anything.
All right. I need money. Oh, that's about it.
You are horrible. All right. Get out.
I actually do want to put this on the point there, though, that if you're giving a talk radio show host $1 a week or $1 a month or something like that, it all adds up. It's kind of like the totalitarian tiptoe in reverse.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it, and actually, you should probably give some websites for yourself and how people can send you some money.
Okay, you can go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question in Eastwood. Like, go ahead, make my news. And also, my YouTube channel is Vinny Eastwood on YouTube there as well. And just topped 32,000 subscribers the other day, and I'm 32 years old, so that seems to be working in clockwork.
Beautiful.
So hopefully I'll be at 33,000 subscribers on my birthday later this year when I turn 33, and I live at number 33. And
oh, wow.
And I want to invite 33 people to the party. Yeah, that'll be cool, man. I'll be like, whoa.
I will be waiting for my invite, damn it.
Yeah, Masonic Overload. Oh, my God, that's a great name for a band. Ladies and gentlemen, we are Masonic Overload.
Oh, my God. I think I need to have a drink now after the show.
Yeah. Masonic Overload's a semen reference, by the way. Never mind. Thank you guys for
having me on. Thanks so much, buddy. Take care, alright?
All right. Hopefully there's no Masonic Overload in your face later. Now, I will go. We'll bow out. Like. All right. Thanks, guys. Catch you later.
Take care.
Thank you, Vinny. Bye-bye.